Vinny Church North Phoenix, how are you guys doing today? You doing good? Man, it's so great to see you. If you're a guest or a visitor, maybe this is your first time. I'm super excited that you're here today. Let me introduce myself. My name is James. I'm one of the pastors here. And you know, I'm so grateful that we get to worship together as a church, not just here, but in multiple locations. You know, we have our other campus out in Surprise, and of course, we have our online campus. So would you guys do me a favor in just giving a shout out to our online campus? They're joining us right now. You know, you guys, you probably have no idea how that works, but we have people joining us from all around the country and even all around the world. I was in the chat just a few moments ago, there's people from Texas, there's people from Colorado tuning in, and we normally have about 1,000 people every weekend joining us online. How cool is that? Now, if you have a Bible, would you please turn to Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20? And before we get into the message, I want to take a moment to pray for our offering and say thank you to those of you who give faithfully to God through our church. You know, when you do that, you're really making a difference. You know, whether it's from one of our multiple ministries that we have going on to our food and clothing bank that's open 7 days a week, our free medical clinic, our gospel justice center. You know, by giving to God through the Vineyard, you are enabling and facilitating all of the ministry that we have going on here at the Vineyard. And I'm so grateful that you do that. In fact, we had an event just a few weeks ago called our Easter Hope Giveaway. And I want to quickly show you a video about that. That's so cool. So again, if you give to God through our church, thank you, thank you, thank you. Will you pray with me as we receive our offering, and let's ask God to open up our hearts and minds as we learn from his word. Father, I thank you so much that we can worship you here today, Lord. Would you be with us, Father? Would you open our hearts and our minds to receive what you have to say to us, God, through your word, the Bible? And as we give a portion of our income back to you, Father, would you use that money to bless and transform our church, our local community, and people's lives all over the world? Father, I thank you that we can trust you with everything that we have. We love you so much, Jesus, and it's in your powerful name that we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. That was a very good prayer. You know, one of the biggest milestones in our society is when a person turns 16. Why is that? It's because they can drive, right? You get to drive a car, finally, for some freedom. But we don't let just anybody drive a car. You actually have to go to the DMV and take a test before you can drive a car. You have to get a license to drive a car because a car is kind of like a life or death deal, right? You know, having a gun is a pretty serious deal too, isn't it? Now, in many states, not Arizona, but in many states, before you can get a gun, you have to have a license. Because a gun is a life and death deal, right? And did you know that there's a force that's more powerful than cars and guns? Because that means life or death, not just for the body, but for the soul. And every human being is issued one. It's called the mouth. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be interesting if we required everybody to have a license to operate their mouth? You know, every few years you'd have to be tested to demonstrate that you still had competence with your mouth. Maybe we could call it the DMM, the Department of Motor Mouths. You know, they would monitor our speech because some of us need that. And the writer of Proverbs, a guy named Solomon, he was very aware of the power of words. In fact, there are probably more Proverbs devoted to human speech than any other part of human life. And we're in a sermon series right now called The Pursuit of Wisdom out of the book of Proverbs, because that's what the book of Proverbs is all about. It gives us wisdom on how to live, especially during difficult times. Now look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. It says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." You know, that's true, isn't it? When we're careless with our words, we can do so much damage. We can crush somebody's spirit. We can step on somebody's dreams with our words. We can fill somebody with resentment by the words that we use. We can make other people, even our own children, afraid by the words that we use. On the other hand, if we use the right words at the right time, somebody who thought they were all alone suddenly realizes that they're not alone. They realize they are loved. Somebody who is confused can all of a sudden receive guidance and direction by our words. Somebody who's ready to give up can be given hope. The right words can give correction to a person who is about to make the biggest mistake of their life. Words really do have the power of life and death. And what I want to do in this message is look at the wisdom of Proverbs for our words. And I'd like each of us, as we go along, to ask God, "God, is there any wisdom here that you want me to specifically work on this week?" And this is one of those messages where I'm preaching to myself too. So I'll be asking God that. So let's get into it. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 20 says this: "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Part of the reason why wise people are not in a rush to speak is because they understand the huge potential for misunderstanding in communication. You know, when I'm talking to you, even if my heart is in the right place, even if I want to say the right thing, I need to weigh my words carefully. Why? Because there's a great chance that you won't hear what I'm trying to say. See, speech is really challenging this way. You know, maybe you heard the story about the pastor who wanted to use a visual demonstration to help him make a point in his sermon. So he put four worms in four different jars. You know, in the first jar, he put a worm in a jar of alcohol. The next worm, he put in a jar full of cigarette smoke. The next worm was in a jar of chocolate syrup. And then finally, the next jar the worm was put in was filled with good, fresh soil. Then at the end of his message, he reported the results of this demonstration. So the pastor was about to tell the congregation what they learned, and a little old lady in the back raised her hand and said, "As long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you'll never have worms." That woman was hasty in her words, wasn't she? See, Solomon says, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." Wise people recognize the huge challenge of communication. And listen to this. When the subject gets sensitive, wise people always pause before they speak. They're not hasty. Really wise people even say a little prayer before they speak. Now, anyone who's been to the Vineyard for a few years, you'll be able to tell me what the best book in the Bible is. Does anyone know that? It's the book of James. You guys are so smart. So look at what the Apostle James says in James 1:5. He says, "But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." James was so smart. See, this applies to wisdom in our speech too. Do you ask God for wisdom in your speech? You know, there's a great passage in the Old Testament, in the Old Testament book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah was an Israelite, and he's in exile from his people in Babylon. He's serving the king of Babylon as the king's cupbearer. And Nehemiah hears that Jerusalem, the capital of Israel, is in ruins, and Nehemiah is devastated. So devastated that he can't keep his sorrow to himself. And the king sees that Nehemiah is really upset. But Nehemiah is very afraid about this because in those days, it was a capital offense to be sad in front of the king because kings didn't want to feel bad. Some of us parent that way. So if you were sorry in front of the king, if you were looking sad in front of the king, you could be executed. So Nehemiah was very afraid when this happens and the king notices that he's sad. Look at what he says. Early the following spring in the month of Nisan, during the 20th year of King Artaxerxes' reign, I was serving the king his wine. I had never before appeared sad in his presence. So the king asked me, "Why are you looking sad? You don't look sick to me. You must be deeply troubled." Then I was terrified, remember, because it was a capital offense. But I replied, "Long live the king. How can I not be sad? For the city where my ancestors are buried is in ruins, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." The king asked, "Well, how can I help you?" With a prayer to the God of heaven, I replied, "If it pleases the king, and if you are pleased with me, send me to Judah to rebuild the city where my ancestors are buried." Did you see what Nehemiah did there in verse 4? He prays to God. Nehemiah knew that literally life and death were riding on his next words. So he says a quick prayer, "God help me." And then he spoke to the king. That is such a wise thing to do, wouldn't you agree? So this week, when the subject is really sensitive, and it will be sometimes, you know, when you're talking to somebody and you're in a conflict, or somebody needs an important decision from you, or you want to express affection for somebody, or somebody's in a difficult situation, don't speak hastily. Say a prayer first. You know, real talk, whether you speak hastily or not, you're going to pray in a real sensitive situation. You know, if you pray first and speak second, your prayer will be like, "God, help me know what to say." But if you speak first and then pray afterward, your prayer will be like, "Oh God, what did I just say? Will you please forgive me?" See, but either way, you're going to pray and you're going to speak. So pray first and then speak second. And sometimes the wisdom of God will tell you, don't speak at all. See, Proverbs 17:28 says, "Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent." So if you want people to think that you are really smart this week, that is the best advice. Just keep quiet. You know, Abe Lincoln said, "It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak out and remove all doubt." Do you know anybody like that? Some of you are married to that person. I know my wife is. You know, David Hubbard, he was the president of Fuller Theological Seminary for years, and he was a great Old Testament scholar. And he wrote a commentary on the book of Proverbs. And in this section of his commentary about speech, he writes about what he looks for in people to be a part of his leadership team at Fuller Seminary. And this is what he writes. He writes, "Do they wait their turn? Do they step on the sentences of others? Do they have a need for the last word? Do they try to top everyone else's stories? Do they sound off in their areas of incompetence? Can they say, 'I don't know'? Do they repeat themselves badly or wander aimlessly through their subject matter? People with these and other verbal liabilities do not usually make it to my team. They are not sensitive enough. They are not modest enough. They waste time, they hurt feelings, and they shatter morale." You know, sometimes verbal wisdom means knowing when to speak in a situation and when not to. Look at this verse, Proverbs 26:17. "Interfering in someone else's argument is as foolish as yanking a dog's ear." Isn't that a great mental picture? Now, yanking a dog's ear is never a wise move. And this was especially true in the ancient world. You know, today, we think of dogs as pets, right? But in those days, dogs were usually wild animals, like jackals or something like that. And to pick up a dog by its ears, I mean, why would you do that? This is what the writer's saying. But we do that all the time. Interfering in someone else's argument is as foolish as yanking a dog's ears. The idea behind this proverb is this: I don't have to go around trying to fix everybody. I don't always have to take sides. I don't have to go around passing judgment every time something is going on. I don't have to jump into it. You know, the next time there's a quarrel between two people and there's a third person also there, see how long it takes for the third person to jump in. We do it all the time. And oftentimes, families or workplaces or churches get divided into camps because they've never learned to allow two people to resolve conflict in a helpful way. So don't always jump into a conversation that has some conflict going on. That's not wise. Look at this next proverb. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. You know, when I first came on onto the pastoral staff quite a few years ago, I was in my mid to late 20s. You know, I thought I was pretty cool. Now, I'm in my 30s now. Once you make it into your 30s, you realize that most people in their 20s think they're pretty cool. So we did this like team building exercise. It was my first one ever. I'd only been, you know, a pastor for like a few months, and we went away to stay at like a hotel. We had a little retreat thing, and we did this team building exercise. And what we had to do is we had to go around the room and we had to say to everyone in the room individually something that they needed to get better at. Well, I thought this would be fine. You know, I was pretty cool. I was, you know, I was a pastor now. Check me out. So it was my turn for everyone to say something that I needed to work on. And every single person said the same thing. They all said, "Hey, James, when you speak, you need to be a little bit more tactful." Now that's pastor for "James, you're rude." And man, that kind of hurt. You know, wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy. But if we want to grow and be wise, we need to be humble and listen to critique. Look at this in Proverbs 25. "To one who listens, valid criticism is like a gold earring or other jewelry." You know, criticism is actually a precious thing. And that goes both ways: receiving valid criticism and giving valid criticism. You know, one of the questions you might face this week is, will I have the courage to say a wise rebuke to somebody I love because it's needed? We all need to have the courage to speak truth to people when they need to hear the truth. And we need to do it in a loving way, but we need to do it. On the other hand, people who always tell you only what they think you want to hear, they aren't really your friends. That's why Proverbs has so many warnings about lying and flattery, like this proverb: "A lying tongue hates its victims, and flattering words cause ruin." Now, Proverbs has a lot to say about deception and the damage it causes. You know, a lying tongue hates its victim. Proverbs says things like, "Kisses from an enemy may feel good for a moment, but they're really destructive." Now, a whole other category of speech involves the way we talk about each other. Proverbs 18:8 says, "The words of a whisperer are like dainty morsels. They go down into the innermost parts of the body." The words of a whisperer really means the words of a gossip. And Proverbs has a lot to say about gossip and how destructive it is, how it can wreak havoc in a community. You know, this proverb gets to why it's so hard to get rid of gossip, because it feeds something deep inside of us. It's like junk food. You know, something deep and dark inside of me feels kind of good by passing judgment on another person. It makes me feel superior. You know, have you ever been talking to someone and a third person comes up in the conversation and for some unknown reason, you say something about that person that isn't at all flattering? You know, it may even be something that's true, but it didn't need to be said. It wasn't that person's business at all. Why do we do that? That's gossip. Those sorts of words can end friendships. They can splinter families. They can shatter reputations. They can split churches. Let's all ask God to help us to aim higher than that. Let me say a few words about how to do that. Proverbs 11:12 says, "It is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet." It says, don't talk badly about someone else. You know, one of the tests I try to use if I'm talking about somebody that's not there is this. Would it be okay with me if that person were listening to these words? Would it be okay with me if these words were being recorded and they were played to that person later on? If not, then don't say it. You know, another piece of general wisdom for us on this subject is a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now, a gentle answer doesn't mean you have to agree with somebody just because they get mad. See, we need to be truth tellers. We need to have the courage to tell people the truth. But what this proverb is saying is that when another person gets really amped up, they're shouting, they're name calling, you know, they're using emotionally loaded language, you know, our reflexive response is to match that energy, right? We want to get just as amped up as they are, to talk just as loudly as they are. And this goes on in our world all the time. That's what road rage is all about. So Solomon is saying to us, when I see another person getting out of control in their language toward me, what I try to do is de-escalate the situation. You know, try to bring things down so that the conversation can be rational. That's what a gentle answer is. I still have to speak the truth, but I need to do it in a way that doesn't escalate the whole thing. And let me make a comment about social media real quick. You know, there's something about the anonymity of social media that leads people to a level of sarcasm or hostility or rage that they would never engage in if they were speaking to that person face to face, right? And I don't mean that just happens to me. I mean that for all of our community. You know, especially because we have an election coming up. We need to do our best to maybe pause, say a prayer, don't be hasty. You know, really think about what we're going to say in the comment section. Because I bet you this, no one's opinion has ever changed because of something that you wrote in a comment section on social media, has it? And the truth is, the more sensitive a subject is, the more time you need to take before you message a person or talk to them. In fact, I would strongly suggest that you don't message or comment someone about something sensitive. You know, talk with them face to face. And if that isn't possible, call them. You know, the internet is a horrible way to communicate about anything sensitive. Okay, so this talk has been mostly about the power of death in our words. Now let me say a few words about the power of life, the power of God-anointed words. Proverbs 10:19 says, "Too much talk leads to sin. Be sensible and keep your mouth shut." Now, if you only read this verse, you might think that God wants you to not speak, that God's goal for you is to not speak so that you can avoid sin. But God's goal for us is not that we would just avoid sin. His goal for us is much bigger than that. Avoiding sin only, that was the problem of the Pharisees. That's the problem of legalism. God's goal for us is not just to avoid sin in our communication and speech. God's goal for us in our communication is for there to be an explosion of goodness and joy and love. And if you never talked, there would never be an expression of life. There would never be any creative ideas, never any articulation of hope, never any direction, never any counsel of wisdom. So God's goal for us in our communication is way more than just avoiding verbal sin. Proverbs 25:11 puts it like this. "Like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances." Gold and silver, two of the world's most precious things in our society, that's how valuable words are. The right word at the right time to the right person with the right spirit. The writer of Proverbs says, wow. Let me ask you, have you ever been around someone who had the gift of speaking a word to you at the right time when you needed it? Wasn't that a powerful thing? You know, it's the difference between positive and negative reinforcement. That's a powerful thing. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. You know, this week, you're probably going to run into some people who are beat up by life. And you could be impatient with them if you want to. You could be judgmental. Or you could pause and say, God, would you help me breathe a little life into them? God, would you help me say the right thing that will be a blessing to them? And when you do that, it's like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now let's look at this last verse, Proverbs 15:4. Gentle words are a tree of life. A deceitful tongue crushes the spirit. See, gentle words bring life and health. The writer of Proverbs says, the tongue that brings healing is a gift from God. Let me tell you about one such tongue. I want to tell you a true story about a guy named Johnny the Bagger. A woman named Barbara Glanz is a corporate consultant and speaker. And one time she was talking to 3,000 frontline workers at a supermarket chain, you know, truck drivers, checkout people, that sort of thing. And she was talking about the power of words. She had posters with great sayings and words on the walls. And she talked about how every interaction people had with another person is the chance to create a memory, a chance to bless somebody's life. A chance to speak a word of healing. She told some stories about how this could happen, and then she went home. This is what Barbara wrote. About a month later, I got a call from a frontline customer contact person, a 19-year-old bagger named Johnny. Johnny informed me proudly that he had Down syndrome, and he told me his story. He said, Barbara, I liked what you talked about, but I didn't think I could do anything special for our customers. After all, I'm just a bagger. He went on to tell Barbara that he had had an idea. He decided that every night when he came home from work, he would find a really good thought for that day, for the next day. If he couldn't find one someplace, he would make one up. And every night, he and his dad would sit down by the computer and his dad would help him enter the saying 6 times on a page on a computer, and then Johnny would sit there and print off 50 pages. Then he would take a pair of scissors and cut off 300 copies. Then he would sign his name to every one of them. Then he would put them in a stack next to him while he worked the next day, and every time he finished bagging someone's groceries, he would put his saying on top of the last bag. Then he would stop and he would look the person in the eye and say, I put a great saying in your bag. I hope it helps you. Have a good day. Thanks for coming in. That was Johnny the Bagger. Now, a month later, Barbara got a call from the store manager and he said, Barbara, you won't believe what's happened here. I was making my rounds, and when I got to the cashier lines, the line at Johnny's checkout was 3 times longer than anybody else's. It went all the way down the frozen food aisle. So I got to the loudspeaker to get more checkout lines open, but none of the customers would move out of Johnny's line. They all said, oh, it's okay, we'll wait, we want to be in Johnny's line. One woman came up to the store manager, grabbed his hand, and said, I used to shop in your store once a week, but now I come in every time I go by because I want to see Johnny. I want to get Johnny's thought for the day. Do you know who the most important person in that store is? It's Johnny the Bagger. He's not at the top of the org chart. He's for sure not making the most money, but he's the most important person in that store. A few months later, the manager called Barbara back. He said, Barbara, you're not going to believe this. Johnny is transforming our store. He's changing the culture here. You know, when the floral department has a broken flower or an unused corsage, they used to just throw it away. Now they go into the aisles, they find an elderly woman or a little girl, and they pin it on them. The guy who makes the shopping carts is working on wheels that actually work. The whole culture of the store is being changed. See, that's a picture of the kind of thing Jesus does through people all the time. Remember, Jesus says, in my kingdom, the last are first, and servants are the greatest of all. The people who give end up being the people who receive. Those who lose their life, they're the ones who find it. That's the kingdom of God. And our prayer is supposed to be, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Make up there, come down here. And it can happen in a grocery store, a neighborhood, a workplace, a family. It can happen anywhere. By the way, do you know who the most important person in this church is? It's you. It's you when you say, God, make your kingdom come in and through me. Because the truth is, anybody can be a Johnny. What he did wasn't slick or complicated or calculated. It didn't get written down on a whiteboard someplace or planned in a strategic planning session. He was just a bagger. But he was expressing his heart. And you and I can do that too. No matter what our title is, no matter where we work, no matter where we live, we can make that happen. This can be a community of people like Johnny. You can let people know they matter, that their life matters. Because let me tell you a secret about every person you see. Every person you see, no matter how put together they look, everybody needs healing. And your words can bring healing to them. People can find out that God loves them. They could be invited to become part of our church family. The tongue has the power of life and death. Let's use it for life. Will you pray with me? Now, before we close our service, I want to take some time for us just to be with God and to speak to him. So whatever it is that you need to do to connect with God, why don't you go ahead and do that now? You might want to close your eyes. You might want to bow your head. There's nothing like magical about that. It just helps us to block out distractions. And just as we're in this posture of prayer, ask God that question we talked about at the beginning. God, is there any wisdom for me this week? You know, just by looking around the room, I can see that the Holy Spirit is touching many of you. That God is speaking to many of you. And just as I was preparing this message, I felt like there was three categories of people that God especially wanted to minister to today. You know, the first group of people, this is a difficult word, but some of us need to repent of a mean thing that we've said and go and ask that person for forgiveness. Now, during the message today, maybe a memory popped up of a time that you said something in haste to a coworker, a family member, one of your children maybe, and you know that you really need to go and say sorry to that person. The second category of people, you know, some of us have been deeply hurt by something someone has said to us. And usually, those words are from someone who's a loved one, right? And God wants to bring some healing to you today. And maybe you need to forgive that person. Maybe you're holding on to that hurt. And then the third category of people that I feel like God especially wants to minister to today. You know, when you heard that story about Johnny the Bagger, your heart started racing. You felt inspired. You wanted to be, you know, the Johnny of your neighborhood or your workplace, or maybe even here at church. Would you join me in standing? And would our ministry team please come forward? I'm gonna pray a blessing over us and then I'll dismiss the service. But if you'd like to receive prayer, you know, we have a trained ministry team down at the front here. They would love to pray for you. You know, especially if you fit into one of those three categories, or if you wanna receive prayer for something nothing to do with what we talked about today. Maybe you want to receive some physical healing, or maybe you need to see some healing in a relationship. Maybe you want to ask God for help with your finances or a job. I don't know, whatever it may be. One of the best things you can do is to share that with a brother and sister in Christ and have them pray for you. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for the wisdom that we can find in your word, the Bible. And Lord, would you remind us as we go about our business this week, Father, to not speak in haste, to pray first and speak second. And God, would you give us the right words to bring life to whoever we're speaking to? Lord, I pray a blessing over all of my friends here today. Would you pour out your favor on them, Lord? Would you walk closely with them, Holy Spirit? Protect us, God. And it's in your powerful name that I pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Hey, as always, it's great to see you. If you're a guest, check out our guest welcome in the Info Center. We'll see you next week.